begin today's show with a new report on the history of lynchings in the United States and their legacy today. After 5 years of exhaustive research and interviews with local historians and descendants of lynching victims, the Equal Justice Initiative found white Southerners lynched nearly 4,000 black men and women and children between 1877 and 1950. Nearly 700 of those lynchings were previously unaccounted for. The report details a 1916 attack in which a mob lynched Jeff Brown for accidentally bumping into a white girl as he ran to catch a train. In an example from 1940, a crowd lynched Jesse Thornton for not addressing a white police officer as Mr. In many cases, the lynchings were attended by the entire white community in an area.
Well, for more, we go to Alabama, one of the 12 southern states profiled in the study, where we're joined by Brian Stevenson, attorney who's worked on death penalty cases in the Deep South since 1985 and the founder and executive director of the Equal Justice Initiative. The report published Tuesday is titled Lynching in America, Confronting the Legacy of Racial Terror. They're now calling for the placement of historical markers at sites where lynchings occurred. Brian Stevenson joins us from Montgomery, Alabama. Welcome to Democracy Now!, Brian. There's a whole discussion again about states' rights. In a moment, we're going to talk to one of the first couples who just got married in Alabama. How does that relate to this horrific study that has been done, or a study about the horrific history of lynching?
Well, it relates very directly. I mean, you're absolutely right that this rhetoric of states' rights was precisely what local states asserted when the federal government began asking questions about why these lynchings were being tolerated. And in many ways, it is that dynamic that set up this era of terrorism. I mean, at the end of the Civil War, you had people who were reclaiming power from freed black people. It's really at the beginning of the end of Reconstruction that we see violence and threats and intimidation beginning to assert itself to sustain racial hierarchy. White supremacy wouldn't succeed if it wasn't enforced with violence and threat and terror. And at the very beginning, African Americans were asking the federal government to intervene. They didn't. And the states' rights mindset really took shape during this era when thousands of African Americans were being lynched and menaced and threatened and terrorized with no protection and with tolerance from both state and federal officials.
Well, Brian Stevenson, your report also indicates a considerable difference in terms of the intensity of lynching from not only from state to state, but from particular counties. Could you talk about that as well?
Sure. I mean, lynching was it became a really social phenomenon. It became quite intoxicating when people got this power to just abduct folks and to torture them and engage in this carnival-like atmosphere. They became, for want of a better word, bloodthirsty. And you see some of these counties where you have a lynching, and then that's followed by two or three more in a very short period of time. And what was so traumatizing to people of color is that all people of color were the intended targets and victims of these lynchings. This was not an act assigned to someone for committing a crime. As you've described, oftentimes people were being lynched for no criminal accusation at all. In Blakely, Georgia, an African-American man, William Little, came home from World War I wearing his uniform, and people were offended, annoyed that he had on this American uniform, and he was lynched because he refused to take it off. A black man running to catch a train bumps into a white girl. He's lynched for that incident. This violence, this terror, was really aimed at sustaining racial hierarchy, keeping black people in their place. And in many ways, it was quite intoxicating. You could see whole communities getting involved in these acts of violence and really being grotesque about the way they carried them out.
You talk about the terror lynchings, terrorism. I want to turn to President Obama speaking at the annual National Prayer Breakfast last week. After he condemned the Islamic State as a death cult, he made this comment.
Humanity has been grappling with these questions throughout human history. And lest we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ. In our home country, slavery and Jim Crow all too often was justified in the name of Christ. So this is not unique to one group or one religion. There is a tendency in us, a sinful tendency that can pervert and distort our faith.
That was President Obama speaking at the annual National Prayer Breakfast. He's very much caused a great deal of controversy with these comments. Brian Stevenson, if you could respond.
Well, I think the president's quite right to acknowledge this history. I mean, we have never really talked about all of this destructive violence. I mean, these public spectacle lynchings that we document in our report are horrific. 10,000 people showed up in Paris, Texas, in a carnival-like atmosphere to watch a man be tortured. Some of these executions, we have one in Dyersburg, Tennessee, where the man had his eyes gouged out. He was burned. He was mutilated. And thousands of people witnessed this. And it does speak to a very dark era in our history. And we make a mistake in this country when we don't talk honestly and soberly about these experiences. I mean, the whole North and West is populated with African Americans who fled to Detroit and Chicago and Cleveland and Los Angeles, not as people looking for opportunities, but as refugees from terror. And this narrative of racial difference, which was born in this era, that has created a presumption of guilt and dangerousness that too many young people of color are burdened with, is something that we haven't adequately addressed because we haven't talked about these issues. And so I think the president is quite right to remind us of this history. We didn't have truth and reconciliation in this country, and because of it, I think we remain haunted, even contaminated by the disarray, the disruption that these acts of violence have created in our national psyche, but also in our relations with one another. So I think it's absolutely appropriate to be talking about these eras.